John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Paul Kaharsky coming up at 8 o'clock with his thoughts on the Titans. Jim Diamond from the Associated Press at 9 o'clock for the latest on the Philip Forsberg situation and looking ahead to some free agency slash maybe trade decisions the Predators could have this offseason as well. So looking forward to that at 9 o'clock. Joe, some news on the NFL front yesterday. Terry McLaurin signing a three-year extension with the Washington Commanders, which is worth up to $71 million in new money that will place him in the top five in terms of NFL wide receiver and receivers in the monies that they're being paid. So Terry McLaurin signing an extension with the Washington Commanders. So we talked about this early in the offseason when it comes to those three guys of McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, and A.J. Brown. So now McLaurin has signed an extension with his team. Deebo Samuel still hanging around in San Francisco. Last time I checked, they have not been traded at this point, although there has been reporting that he has not rescinded the trade request as of yet. So still some work to be done on that front. And, of course, we know the story with A.J. Brown. He has been traded by the Titans to the Philadelphia Eagles. So, I mean, it is what it is at this point. A.J. Brown is gone, and, you know, Titans fans feel basically one way or the other. They've either talked themselves into that was the right move by the Titans, or they're still very upset by it that A.J. Brown is gone. What do you make of this situation with those three, Joe Rexroad, given the fact that McLaurin has now signed an extension, Deebo Samuel is still a member of the San Francisco 49ers, and the Titans are the one team with those three guys that have moved on from their star wide receiver.
Trying to get me all riled up, huh?
Sure am.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that much. And again, it's just nothing. I don't feel any different than I did 2 months ago or almost 2 months ago. You could have waited this out. I acknowledge that every single conversation or shred of information that the Titans have all of it will not be available to anyone else. So got to acknowledge that. But what it comes down to is, can you figure something out? Can you can you have a good environment and is it worth it, you know, to pay him? Look, maybe it will end proving that it wouldn't have been. But these situations elsewhere show you. I mean, you know, something can look just terrible and irreconcilable, and it's business, and there are certain things in place that ultimately you got to deal with. And I think that A.J. Brown and the Titans would have figured it out. But,
well, Joe, to that point, just real quickly, McLaurin, he did not show up to voluntary OTAs, yeah, and he skipped out on mandatory minicamp as well. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was smooth sailing. Hey, I'm going to be here, we're going to work out a contract.
Right.
He wasn't there.
Right. And look, I don't know, like, McLaurin. I don't know about McLaurin's Twitter game, frankly. So, but people are making some of these admittedly silly tweets. And really, like, my biggest issue with A.J. Brown on Twitter is, like, all the stuff after this, like, with the camp and everything. Like, man, just drop it. I'm the best receiver. Like, just drop it. But I don't know if that was a big thing with McLaurin, but that's a great point. I mean, it wasn't looking good. It was looking contentious. I mean, this has happened a million times in the NFL. And then ultimately, okay, how about this? Great. You come a little bit our way, we'll come a little bit your way. Here's the deal. You know, this is why in Philadelphia finally decided they needed to go get someone who has demonstrated they can play in the NFL, because they have tried to invest so much draft capital in finding that guy, and it's hard to find those people. That's where it is. I mean, it could have worked out. It didn't work out. And when these things play out, and I am going to predict that Debo is going to be with the Niners this year, and they're going to figure that out too. When those things play out that way, I think it does make it look worse. And the big test, of course, is just going to be what the Titans are as a team, what Brown does with the Eagles. I mean, it's, like it or not, that's going to be a constant check-in this year.
Well, kind of a sidebar of this conversation, it is kind of amazing to me. Like, if you would have told me back in March that of these three guys, and more specifically of the three teams, the one to figure it out first and get the guy signed to an extension would be the Washington freaking Commanders out of the Niners and the Titans, I would have told you were nuts.
Yeah, well, maybe they needed – this is like their news dump. They needed like storyline to be out there.
Dan Snyder was just like, oh, God, just sign him. I don't care what the money looks like.
But remember, he's not running things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He has no involvement.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so they needed some good news, and they got it. So there you go. And, it's just – It would have, I don't know exactly how it would have played out, but I think it could have been worked out. Yeah. And,
especially like if the Debo situation, if they get through this, because it's the one from the jump that looked the most contentious. I mean, he was the one on Instagram Live, and he was the one that came out and, you know, publicly made a trade request of the Niners. Like, if I'm a Titans fan, and like Debo Samuel, you get through this whole offseason with San Francisco and they're able to patch things up and work things out, and he's a member of the 49ers moving forward. Like, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm looking around and saying, man, y'all couldn't have hung on a little bit with A.J. Brown and tried to get this thing worked out. Like, as we know, Joe Rexrode, guys like A.J. Brown don't just walk through the door in this facility here in Nashville.
Yeah, Debo really created probably the most contentious part of the A.J. Brown situation. I mean, his thing spilled into A.J. Brown, you know, and of course, same agent and all that stuff. So, but yeah, if it all comes all the way back around to him and the Niners figuring it out, that's a great example of how it can work out. Again, when you say that, the draft is an opportunity. If you're worried, it is. That's when you get something done, and the Titans did. But look, I don't feel any differently. I think that's a move that John Robinson's going to regret. And that's mostly based on believing that A.J. Brown actually can get better and will. And, you know, the health thing is TBD for sure. That's the biggest concern. That was the one thing as they were talking about this pretty much slam dunk extension that was, of course, going to happen. That was the one thing that I said, you know, that you're going to say if you're the Titans, and you're going to think about if you're the Titans. But we'll see. I think that all this stuff would also be a little bit less of a story here if things were not worrisome on the Treylon Burks front.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely a part of this. And, you know, it's interesting to me too. Like, I look at the McLaurin deal. That's a whole lot of money for a guy that, you know, honestly, most fans around the NFL probably aren't as aware of what he brings to the table just because he plays for Washington and they get lost in the fold so much. But
really,
I mean, you're talking about a guy that, you know, 87 catches 2 years ago for 1,100 yards, 77 last year for 1,000 yards. And think about who his quarterbacks have been. Like, right, we make fun of Carson Wentz a lot, but Carson Wentz is a pretty clear upgrade over Taylor Heineke from last year. Like, McLaurin could have a pretty big year this year.
Oh, yeah. No question. And every once in a while, he may be standing there like, wait, what did you just do, Carson? What are you doing? But you know, he'll get the ball to him too, and he'll benefit from that. And that's the thing too with AJ is that's going to be interesting. I mean, if Jalen Hurts is going to be a good NFL starter, then I think this year we're going to find out. You know, a little bit like Tua. I guess it's the Alabama quarterback thing. Like both of them now, it's like, okay, you've got people around you to, you know, to take another step as a quarterback. So, and look, maybe AJ does suffer from going from Tannehill to Hurts as his QB.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and find out. I know a lot of excitement in Philadelphia, and they're already talking about what Jalen Hurts' next contract is going to look like and the massive numbers associated with that. So I saw some of that yesterday, like people discussing paying Jalen Hurts like $35-40 million a year. I was like, okay, all right, well, have fun with that. See how that works out. Coming up next, Baker Mayfield has broken his silence on the Deshaun Watson / Cleveland Browns situation. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to WWE SummerSlam coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 30th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to WWE SummerSlam coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 30th, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, Baker Mayfield breaking his silence yesterday. He was at his youth football camp in Oklahoma. And, of course, the relationship with the Browns has been a contentious one for Baker Mayfield ever since the pursuit of Deshaun Watson. And he broke his silence on that yesterday. Obviously, with Deshaun Watson and his NFL disciplinary hearing underway, which, by the way, will continue today. Mayfield was asked about his relationship with the Browns and what the possibility would look like if they could repair that and if he could play again for the Browns, given the fact that Deshaun Watson very well could be suspended for a significant portion or maybe the entirety of the 2022 NFL season. And the quote from Baker Mayfield was, quote, "I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out. But we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides." The quote from Baker Mayfield on his relationship with the Browns. So I've wondered this, Joe, about this whole Deshaun Watson saga. Like, they do still have Baker Mayfield on their roster. And as you pointed out yesterday, it's a roster that is, in their minds, I think, ready to win now. They've made some moves that are to help them in the short term. Jadeveon Clowney is back. Amari Cooper is in there. And no, you know, no disrespect to Jacoby Brissett, but you're not winning a whole lot with Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback. I have wondered, like, will they try to repair things with Baker to the point where he can play this year? The more I think about it, especially knowing what his personality has been so far in the league, like, I just can't see this working out. Like, they've got to move on from Baker Mayfield at some point here soon, I would think. And Baker pretty much said as much yesterday. Yeah, I think we're ready to just call that a call the day and move on to chapter number 2 in your career.
Yeah, I looked at it like they already have moved on and everything other than officially. It was actually kind of a surprising comment from him, but I guess it's probably good to say it that way, maybe. You know, yeah. It would have to take some reaching out. To me, other things he said and told me, like, yeah, I hate you guys. Don't ever talk to me again for what you've done to me. But I suppose, like, for his Yeah, for the fact that, you know, he's hoping a the future employer will be found soon and will want to employ him. I guess it probably makes sense to be a little bit more diplomatic about this. But
well, and he did admit yesterday that he was frustrated that a trade had not happened before minicamp.
Yeah, as he should be. I mean, it's a, I mean, if you're him, even if you are the biggest Baker Mayfield hater in the world, and I'm not, I think he's a good player, and you know, I think he's sometimes his personality gets in the way, but even if you just think very little of him, you got to look at this situation and have some sympathy for him, right? I mean, just some sympathy for the fact that, like, he's too good to be, to me, to just be some guy in limbo right now. And also, he's sitting there watching the Browns do what they did with Deshaun Watson and watching all of this play out. And just like everybody else, I'm sure, thinking, my God, what have they done?
John on the text line says, as a Browns fan, I wish they could flip the switch and go back. Baker is our guy, and they messed it up. This is coming from John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
That's really interesting. I'd love to know how many Browns fans feel that way. Because I feel like it's interesting. I do feel like a lot of Browns fans were out on Baker, right?
Sure.
And I mean, I don't know. Like, I'd love to also know the day Deshaun Watson was signed as compared to now. How has Browns fandom opinion changed?
Well, there's got to be some difference, I would think.
I would think maybe pretty significant difference given the information that's come out since then.
Now, having said that, if and when the day comes that he throws his first touchdown pass with Cleveland, there will be a different sentiment that day as well.
Yeah, well, yes, there will be. And if it's great on the field over time, again, it'll still be brought up, and it will become very much a, well, look, what it'll become is what happens. One of my least favorite parts of sports, which is like fan bases screaming at each other. Like, cause like one fan base is like, your player or coach is a bad person, you know, and like the fan base that would totally embrace and defend and rationalize the exact same behavior if that person was on their team, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be like a lot of like Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, you know, keeping the Deshaun Watson stuff up as Browns fans more and more rationalize all this stuff.
I'm interested to see, number one, how quickly, like at some point, I would assume that a deal is going to get worked out for Baker Mayfield. Like, what's the return for Cleveland going to be? Like, if they're able to trade it, like, what is, let's say it's Seattle, because that's the one that's out there right now that's speculated. Like, there's a limited market right now for Baker Mayfield in terms of where he can go. Like, I wonder, what does the return look like for Cleveland if they're able to work out a trade? Because I can't imagine it's going to be all that much.
Fourth rounder?
Yeah, like, I'd be shocked if it was much more than that.
I mean, and what they're, you know, what they need, of course, is they need, like, the Panthers and Seahawks to both decide that this has to be their quarterback. And that's right. That's the only hope to get any kind of return is that, that there's some kind of a bidding war. But, yeah, everybody knows the situation they're in. They're screwed. It's irreconcilable differences. It's over with Mayfield and the Browns. Everybody knows that, and they're stuck with the Watson situation, and they have to deal him. So it's just it's a bad position to get anything back. Ron says, I truly believe the Niners and Browns should do an even trade of their QBs because they both want to start over. Oh, so you're saying the Browns bring in Jimmy G in this situation? Yeah, it's not. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they will decide, look, this roster, there's too many things up in the air right now, too much at stake with this roster to just go with Brissett. And maybe they will look at it like they've got to get something better at QB. I mean, I'd kind of figured they were just going to eat it, you know, this year and be average without him. But maybe they think along those lines too. That's possible. Jimmy G's a good enough guy to start in the league right now. That's for sure.
Everybody keeps talking about, you know, Carolina and their potential interest in Baker Mayfield, which I'm not going to totally rule that off the table, but they did just draft Matt Corral and they have Sam Darnold. Like, you've got two young guys, and I get it. Like, Sam Darnold, it's getting pretty close to the point with Sam Darnold where he just is what he is. Yeah. And I think that's becoming clear. Like, he had, you know, a 3 or 4 game stretch to begin the season last year where you're like, oh, wow, look at Sam Darnold. Look what happens when you get away from the New York Jets. And then it devolved back into basically what we've seen throughout his entire career. But you did just draft Matt Corral too. Like, are you gonna have Darnold, Corral, and Baker Mayfield all on the same roster? I have my doubts.
I'm not huge on Corral as an NFL quarterback. I'm open to being wrong. But even if he is, I feel like he's not a. I think it's gonna take a little bit of time. So I kind of look like him as a little bit more of a project signing. So I think the answer to your question is, like, how do you actually feel about Darnold? If you feel like it's just getting late with him, then and also it's like, what do you think about this team? If you had a Baker, what does that do for you? I mean, he would be the best of the three for sure if he's healthy. I don't think it would be any question, right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean for your bottom line this year? You know, I mean, they're not a very good team, but in this league, it's like, well. You know, you can go back just about any team, unless you're just god awful, and go back through the last year and say, man, we had 4 or 5 games go the other way, and you never know. And now it's like, well, Baker, you know, you could get to 9-8, you could be flirting with a wild card. Now, I don't know. It's just like, what are your priorities? You know, what and how do you look short term versus long term? If you really feel like you need to make some progress on the field this year and at least be okay, then I think they're in play for him.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll discuss a quarterback with local ties around here that has better odds even than Baker Mayfield to win the NFL Comeback Player of the Year Award, which I know has Joe Rexroad just very fired up. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. You can join 1025, 1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding areas. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids, but we can't do it without you. So please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you so much for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul Kaharsky coming up at 8 o'clock. The Rex Rant here in just a few minutes at 745. So, Joe, we've discussed Baker Mayfield. There is a quarterback out there that has higher odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Excuse me, better odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook for NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And that is Marcus Mariota, who I would assume at the moment is slated to be the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. I guess there's always a chance that Desmond Ridder slides in there and maybe he's ready to go from the jump, but it looks like Marcus is going to be the starter down there. So, look, I think we know how I feel about Marcus Mariota. He's a great guy. Don't think he's necessarily the greatest quarterback in the world. Don't think he's necessarily a starting quarterback in the NFL. But Joe Rexroad, what do you make of this opportunity for the former Titans quarterback down there with Arthur Smith and company and the Falcons this year and everything that they have at their disposal?
This is just another opportunity for you to rip Marcus, isn't it?
We'll probably get some of that, yeah.
Well, look, you're going to have a hard time If you're following the career trajectory of Marcus Mariota, a lot of things that are not his fault, you know. But the bottom line is, when your body's breaking down the way his was by the end of his tenure here, and you kind of become that journeyman, that former high pick, it's going to be difficult to get a starting opportunity that doesn't come also with like a young guy right on your heels. I'd still say this is a fantastic opportunity for him. I think he will start the season as the starter, and certainly there's a lot of pressure. There's always huge pressure on the journeyman, like so-so veteran who is ahead of the rookie, even if the rookie may not be ready for another year. In the NFL anymore especially, it will not take long for Atlanta Falcons fans to clamor for Desmond Ridder. But, hey, you've got a chance to be a starter with a guy you know well, you know the system well, and you've got some weapons. You've got, you know, a team that I think is getting a little bit better. I don't think they're going to be great, but you can't ask for much better than this if you're Mariota. And by the way, I would just like to point out, we talked about my athletic piece, or not my athletic piece, but, you know, the athletic piece that I contributed to about the best offseason moves for every team.
I prefer it just being your piece, but yes.
Yes, I would like to take just full credit for it. But Josh Kendall, who covers the Falcons for us, said he answered the question about the best offseason move that the Falcons made, and his choice was Marcus Mariota. Quote, "Not only did the quick move allow the Falcons to immediately turn the narrative surrounding the most important position on the field," by the way, he's talking about losing Matt Ryan, "but also gave them a cheap veteran option who was already familiar with head coach Arthur Smith's system thanks to their shared time in Tennessee. Also said he's universally liked and will provide some stability in what could be a bumpy season." And that's, I mean, look, the Falcons are not, they don't look like a playoff team to me. If Mariota somehow started all year and they were like had a winning record, I don't know what that would do, but well, that would help him a lot. I'm just excited to see if he is healthy, how Arthur Smith, because right now I don't think there's any reason anymore for Marcus Mariota to think like long-term. I mean, yeah, long-term, like you want to like be able to walk later. But I feel like here there was always that, he's the number two pick. Yes, he's a great athlete. Yes, you want to use that a little bit, but man, you don't want to use it too much. To me, this year, man, let it rip. Like, use what he brings, and he's still an elite. He's one of the best athletes at quarterback in the league. Use it, you know. Let it go. Do everything you can do with that and see where you are. And he may get hurt again, but, I mean, this is his shot. This is very likely his last shot to come into a season as an NFL starting quarterback.
Look, believe it or not, I actually am rooting for him. I know that you're just going to shake your head at that, but I hope he does well. But I will say this. If your best move as an organization in the offseason is bringing in Marcus Mariota, it's probably not a great commentary on your offseason. I'll just throw it out there that way.
Well, but except that, you know, look, you're in a really tough spot, you know, when you trade Matt Ryan at the position, right? So, like, from that perspective, you at least have given yourself a chance. So, like, I kind of get it. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, is there not a draft pick, a signing or something that's like, ooh, that could really help? But it is the most important position on the field, right?
It is. It is the most important position.
Yeah. Hey, I believe you that you're rooting for him.
I also embrace
myself for every snide comment you'll make every time he has a bad game. So,
you imagine how much talking I'm going to do about quarterbacks this year, not named Ryan Tannehill. I mean, between Marcus Mariota and Davis Mills, I'm going to be insufferable come football season.
Oh gosh, yeah, we haven't really extended ourselves into a Davis Mills conversation much.
But, no, but it's you coming, may let me tell
you may be talking about him because Davis. There's a lot of excitement about how he looks down there.
I'm just saying. I mean, the one thing in all seriousness for Marcus that I look at is. Is he going to have enough weapons to actually succeed? Because to me, like, he needs weapons to really help him along the way. Now, year two of Kyle Pitts should be a big help, but you don't have Calvin Ridley. I know they did just draft Drake London, so maybe he comes in and he's immediately ready to go, and maybe he's immediately a stud. Like, there are a lot of people that are very high on Drake London, so we'll see what happens on that standpoint. But, like, that wide receiver room, it's Drake London, and it's pretty much it. I know Cam Batson's there, but without Calvin Ridley being in the fold, being suspended for the entire season, I mean, it might be, I don't know. There are a couple others that I can think of that give it competition, but it might be the worst wide receiver room in the NFL. So that does not help Marcus in this discussion.
It does not. No, it's tough. And you basically need Drake London to be like rookie of the year level player, you know, right away. I think he's going to be a good player in the league, but that's asking a lot. I mean, Pitts is great, but
they do have Ferkser.
They've got some.
I mean, they've got pretty much every former Titan you could think of. So
they do. So there is some familiarity there. But again, I'm not saying, Arthur Smith has his offense, but I'm going to be really fascinated. I'm not saying like you go to like the Ravens offense, but honestly, like I would do as much of that stuff as you can get away with Mariota. Just, I mean, he's a good slider. He slides. He's always tried to protect himself. I feel like the Titans, and I understood it at the time, where they were, where he was in his career, but I do feel like they didn't utilize it as much, and at times when he would let it rip. I mean, think about, basically, he got them into the playoffs in 2017 with that run against the Jaguars, right? And that run, if he doesn't make that run, they probably lose that game and don't get to the playoffs, and then he has a huge game to win a playoff game in Kansas City doing some athletic quarterback things in that game too.
He threw a ball to himself for God's sake.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I'm not even talking about that. That was lucky, but you know, he when he's out there stressing defenses like that, he can be intriguing. You know, you still have to throw it accurately and be efficient, all that. And yeah, I worry about the receivers too. But again, I would just go to more QB run stuff than he's ever had before by far. If he's going to be your guy, as long as he's your guy, do that and see how that works out for you. And I would think that he'd be in favor of that too.
The bottom line in this discussion, that when it really breaks down to it with the Falcons, I kind of feel bad for Arthur Smith because, you know, he's entering into year two here. Marcus Mariota is probably your starting quarterback. Unless Desmond Ridder turns into a star, which I guess he could, but that's probably a project that you're going to have to work on here. Like, I look at this roster right now. I don't think there's enough there to win. And I think eventually Arthur Smith is probably going to pay the price for it. And I'm not sure what else he can really do with this roster when it comes down to it. Like, I actually thought he did a pretty good job last year with the pieces that he had. Yeah. They just have a horrible defense. And he basically used Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, he transitioned him from wide receiver to a running back. Like, he got pretty creative with the offense last year. I just think with this roster, there's a limit on what you can do. And I worry that ultimately he's going to pay the price for that.
Well, he could, but it's early. And I think everybody knew what he was inheriting. I think that there was, like, I think there were positive signs on the coaching front. And excuse me, you got to think that there's going to be some patience, you know, given the transition. I mean, the big hope is that Ridder eventually becomes your starter and very good.
But yeah, I'm not saying that he's going to get fired like this year or anything. Like, I just think this is going to be a multi-year process with the Falcons. Yeah. And how much leash is he really going to get?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. You know, they did add some pieces on defense. Can Dean Pease pull off some magic there? And if not, get ready, Atlanta media, to get some scoldings this year. And I'm here for that.
I think we're all here for that. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Rhodes Rant of the Day. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. You can make every day a good old day with the hand crank taste of Bluebell ice cream. Got July 4th coming up later this weekend. What better way to celebrate America than with the great taste of Bluebell ice cream? The good old days are being made right now. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take it to Bermuda.
And it is that time today, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day, a classic. Kokomo bringing us back in here today. Joe Rex Road, the song just puts me in the mood. I know it does you too. I turn things over to you for your rant of the day.
I'd get mad at Michelle for this song, but I just noticed on our little text thread that it's her 1 year anniversary. So that's, we should be, this should be like a celebratory show.
It really should be.
I just realized it too, Michelle. Halfway through.
Well, and also she didn't play One Direction, so that's always a cause for celebration.
Yeah, true. Actually, Kokomo kind of sounded good there.
Yeah, it did.
Whoa, Joe. But,
I mean, like, relative to One Direction? Sign me up.
Jamming out to Kokomo all day.
Put me in the hammock in a thong, and it'll give me a pina colada, and let's go.
Joe, don't ever say that again.
Sorry. But in all seriousness, it's awesome. It's been a great year. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure, you know, being the mom of the team.
Yep, somebody's got to control us.
Yeah. Tough job. All right, for this rant, I am going to put a listener on blast. So, but I'm basically using the listener to as an example, okay? So, Viking Matt, just like to say, Viking Matt's a terrific contributor to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com.
He is.
And very much enjoy his conversation. But I am going to, we had a little back and forth yesterday on Deshaun Watson. So, I want to take that opportunity. I've kind of had similar rants, I guess, but that's okay. Every once in a while, you got to refresh things. So I think one important thing to remember is that, you know, a court of law is not the arbiter of leagues or teams making decisions to discipline people. I mean, I think that should be obvious, but what you see a lot in situations like this is the people bringing the tried and true innocent until proven guilty into it. Okay, so I'm going to read Viking Matt's post from yesterday. I would like to put this to bed for good. Now, it will be put to bed for good or until the next time someone says something like this and I get all mad and have to spout off again. So Viking Matt and I went back and forth, and here's his comment. Quote, innocent until proven guilty is the way our legal system works, or at least the last time I checked it was. And for Trevor Bauer, he was talking about Trevor Bauer, of course, who had consented to have rough sex with the same person multiple times, was cleared of all charges, and yet is still suspended. Okay, Joe, if someone, again, we're talking about Deshaun Watson here, but this post, he doesn't mention Watson. But okay, Joe, if someone makes a false claim against you for sexual abuse, but you are found innocent, should 102.5 fire you or suspend you, even though you are innocent, end quote. Now, again, the Trevor Bauer thing, separate, but it goes to the point of, you know, yes, there are criminal proceedings, and Deshaun Watson, a grand jury in Texas, or two, have not charged him. Okay. But to answer your question on 102.5, Viking Matt, if I had been found to have scheduled at least 66 massages, all from young women in a 17-month period, been accused multiple times of sexual assault, been given hotel space and NDAs from my employer, had admitted sexual encounters, and had two women who filed criminal charges who weren't suing me, still had four women suing who have not been willing to settle the whole time, had details from these encounters expressed by the women that were extremely similar and very much tied to the power dynamic at hand, and had quite clearly been demonstrated, totally apart from criminal allegations, to be a sexual predator, then yes, Viking Matt, I think I might have a problem with my employer.
I would say so.
So can we please stop with the innocent until proven guilty crap on this stuff? Well, I can't speak on the Bauer. Sorry, I can't speak on the Bauer situation other than to say again, you can be found not guilty or cleared of charges or not charged, and that should not be conflated with confirmed bad behavior. But with the Watson thing, this should not be an argument anymore.
Well, honestly, I think with the latest Jenny Renta's report from the New York Times, I think that has changed the way a lot of people view this. Because I do think this conversation a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when, you know, especially right after he was found and there were no charges that were brought against him criminally, then I think there was a lot of that going around. I think the latest report from Jenny Verentis that's kind of highlighted the pattern of behavior and the scope of it, which, by the way, there still could be more. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. I do think that has changed the way a lot of people view this with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I do too. Now, look, before the latest, I still think for sure. Like, there's no question, because before that, yeah, it was like, he's got to have some games. This is gross. You know, I mean, anybody who I think paid attention to everything that was part of this, to the reporting, the details, it wasn't good. And he clearly, like, not good at all. But I agree. Like, the latest it just increases the magnitude of the situation and how really, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's just, I mean, predatory. It's just like obsessive, like incredible, excessive. That's where, people are talking. I mean, there's still people talking about lifetime ban. I don't think that's going to happen, but I agree with you. Like, the view now with all the information available is, for most people, I think, understandably grim on what this was and what this has been. And, Saint in Portland says, nobody who is truly innocent chooses to settle. The settling part of this, I think, like, every single Title IX, lawsuit that has come through college athletics, for example, there's always talk about, no, I'm not settling these, and then they always get settled. Like, pretty much guaranteed.
I don't necessarily buy into everybody who's truly innocent doesn't settle. Like, that has definitely happened before in the legal system. Now, Deshaun Watson, as we've said, the pattern of behavior is pretty clear at this point with Deshaun Watson. So, certainly innocent is not the term that I would probably throw around with Deshaun Watson, even though there are no criminal charges that have been filed against him. But I don't know that I necessarily buy into nobody that's ever been innocent in the history of litigation is settled.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to separate these two things too. Like there are countless things that any of the three of us could be fired for that would be awful, that would not bring criminal charges, right? I feel like whenever these things happen, some people just think of the legal system and that applies to everything. It doesn't. And again, the Bauer thing, it's a totally different situation. And I'm not, I'll be honest, like, I don't know every single detail of that. I've read some of it and it's hard to read, honestly, but I understand still with that situation why he would still be open to being punished, and why he was punished. Was it too much? I don't know, but again, like, you have to separate the two things. If we can do that, then I think a lot of these discussions are better.
I got a text that says that's completely wrong. Settling and guilt or innocence are rarely related. It has way more to do with the cost and hassle of a trial.
Yeah, cost, hassle, and also there's a lot of situations with settling, whether it's guilty or innocent, there's a lot of information that people do not want to be made public, which will be made public if you go to a trial.
Correct. So all that being said, like, by the way, like, the Deshaun Watson situation may not be over. Like, that's part of what the NFL is going for here in the disciplinary hearing of why they're reportedly pushing for at least a year and indefinite, is because there still could be more information that comes out. Like, we're just now getting into, like, the Texans' involvement in this and everything else. Like, this could be far from over when it comes to the Deshaun Watson part of this.
Right. And that's where, I mean, this is going to be fascinating from the standpoint of, if it does get to the point of indefinite, at least a year, right? I mean, the NFLPA on this is going to be really interesting. They have to fight. They have to, because beyond whatever you think of this situation, I mean, they have to fight for the players on this, and the whole argument of, owners who have been in compromising situations. Not that the Kraft thing compares, in my opinion, to this, but still, I mean, look at Snyder, right?
Yeah,
like it's a. It's a good argument from the NFLPA, but it'll also be interesting to see how that plays out, because, when you're defending this behavior, is tough. I'm sure a lot of players are also disgusted by this, you know. At the same time, like, you still have to, like if this does happen, now you have set that precedent for it to happen, right? And that's something that the NFLPA has to fight against. So there's a lot of interesting stuff to come with this.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rexroad. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com and Outkick 360. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.